Greetings and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today, again, as we do every season, we don't do a single band for an episode. We do an entire year of music, landmarks, and we pick our favorite songs from that year. That year this time around, because I didn't want to do 2001. 2002 is what we're doing.
It's not quite a Space Odyssey. It's more like a Trek.
It's a Space Odyssey credits.
Yes.
It's the credits at the end of a Space Odyssey, which were so long they stretched into 2002.
HAL has been reprogrammed.
That's right. Exactly. So you're going to hear on the show us give our picks for our favorite songs of the year. We're going to talk about, the Stairway to Heaven songs. What...
Well, I made a list of top albums and stuff like that. We'll get there.
Oh, good. You actually really did. Okay, cool. Yep. Great. We're going to get to that. But first, we like to begin these things by just kind of going through the year and talking about all the notable events that happened over the year.
I do want to throw a disclaimer out.
Okay.
Being the person who did the notes, there might be a certain lean to what I considered notable.
Don't think I haven't noticed. I'll let you read those. How's that? I'll let you type those up. All right, let's start with January 1st. Eric Clapton married his 25-year-old girlfriend.
Now, good on him. Good on him.
What's that?
Good on him.
Good on him. Well, how old was Eric Clapton in 2002?
Older.
Considerably, right?
Yes.
Like over 50 for sure.
You know, I would bet close to 60.
Let's see here. He was born in 1945. So in 2002, he would have been 57.
Yeah.
All right. Good on him.
Yeah. See, good on him.
That is a big jump though. Holy cow. And to get married on January 1st. I mean, that's just basically saying, you know, I have problems remembering anniversaries. So.
Or it could be we wanted fireworks and I can't afford them. So we just had the world do them.
Eric Clapton can afford fireworks. Let's be clear. January 8th, the Black Crowes decide to take a break. I think that was probably pretty close to the time that Chris Robinson married Kate Hudson, right?
I think so.
Yeah. On January 14th, Adam Ant is forced to spend a couple of days in a psych hospital after being arrested for carrying a gun in a London bar. He claimed it was a fake.
I'm not surprised by this. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. What does he do?
Oh, geez. Okay.
He runs around in a bar.
Well done. I was looking for goody two shoes. I was trying to go for an Unplug the Jukebox reference. You beat me to him. All right. Well done. January 23rd, Virgin Records buys out Mariah Carey's contract for $28 million. This is them basically paying her not to make any music for them. Like, if you want out, here you go. You're out.
But later on the year, the laugh's kind of on them.
Man, and it's funny because they made so much money. One Sweet Day was like for the longest time, maybe even still is, the longest running chart single or something. Let's see. 16 consecutive weeks from December 1995 to March 16th, 1996. It's the only song. Oh, there we go. It remained the only song to stay at number one on the chart for 16 weeks until 2017. The record was tied by Despacito.
Oh my gosh. So here's the other thing, and I actually listened to a book on Audible.
I'll take two, name two songs I would never want to listen to again for 200, Alex. Sorry, go ahead, please.
So I just listened to a book on Audible Originals about the songs in the Christmas canon. Mm-hmm. And how there are these traditional Christmas songs. And Mariah Carey actually has one of the last entries into the Christmas canon with that, with her Christmas song.
All I Want for Christmas. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about how it's really rare. And the fact that here's something that I learned in the book, that song's over 25 years old now.
Right. And didn't didn't become a number one until recently, if I remember correctly. Like, like it's never been a Christmas number one song. It wasn't at the time.
No.
I guess it didn't get as much attention until it was used all over the place. And then it was just, you know, you couldn't knock over a Salvation Army Santa without hearing All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I think just recently it made it onto the Billboard charts, but maybe not number one, but like but finally made it to the Billboard charts or something. I can't remember the deal, but it was some recent record that it finally set.
Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you that book about Christmas music on Audible was awesome. It's only like an hour and a half long. It's so worth listening to.
Okay. All right. Check it out. You can have this one.
No, I want you to read this one.
All right. January 29th, the epic double album, 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulence, is released by prog metal trailblazers Dream Theater.
Everybody drink.
Oh, so it was a double album.
Yeah,
it had two songs.
Actually, you're only half wrong. The second disc is a 45-minute suite of songs.
Of course it is. Of course it is. All right. February 3rd, U2 performed during the Super Bowl halftime show. I remember that. That it was actually part of the same concert that I saw when they were here at the Pepsi Center in Denver, again, right after 9/11. And Bono did that same thing that he did with the leather jacket with the U.S. flag on the inside.
Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful day.
It was indeed. February 4th, Gene Simmons had an extremely antagonistic interview with Terry Gross on NPR. Throughout the interview, he makes countless sexual come-ons. She calls him obnoxious repeatedly. Simmons refuses to grant NPR permission to post the interview online, but unauthorized transcripts and audio exist. And I want to hear this.
It is so worth the time to dig up and watch. Everyone, pause the show now, type it into your local search engine, and it pops up plentifully.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm going to listen to that as soon as we're done recording. That sounds great. February 13th, Jennifer Lopez's remix album, J to the Low, debuts at number one. And a couple days later, February 15th, Britney Spears stars in her first leading role in a film called Crossroads. It's a teen drama road trip film.
With music by Britney Spears and Eric Clapton.
No way, really? No. Oh, it all comes full circle.
It doesn't.
Was she older than his wife at the time?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Have you seen Crossroads?
Close. No, I tried to get the guys to watch it for film sec and they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't do it. I've never seen it.
Okay.
Myself. And so I was purely recommending it based on just knowing that it was a garbage movie. Mm.
You need to either get them to watch this or from Justin to Kelly. I mean,
oh my God. Yeah, which one do you think?
They can only veto so many things before they have to take it.
You know, I thought we were going to watch Spice World. Did that? That must not have been streaming.
Yeah, you've pushed for it, but they've never gone for it.
Yeah. Oh, they'll do it. They'll do it when it becomes available because I will make them do it. I'll actually put it on the list. Oh yeah. No, like if you go to justwatch.com, Spice World is not even listed as available for rent or anything. Like it's so locked out. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I could have sworn it was streaming at one time. All right. March 7th, after a fallout, Burton C. Bell leaves Fear Factory after a falling out with bandmates. The group broke up shortly after that.
Which is too bad because Fear Factory is a pretty solid group.
I don't know. I don't know if I know Fear Factory. You might have to add them to the list, but.
It's also a great haunted house here in Salt Lake.
Are they in the same industrial district as the CNC Music Factory?
No. These people are a little bit grumpier.
Gotcha. How about the Cheesecake Factory? Is there a Cheesecake Factory near Fear Factory? March 12th.
Only if you're lactose intolerant.
Oh, geez. Yeah, then they're both, Fear. March 12th, Silverchair canceled an appearance at the Gone South Festival after Daniel Johns contracts reactive arthritis. March 15th, Liverpool Airport is renamed to the Liverpool John Lennon Airport. And you'll be Flying Over the Strawberry Fields Forever. March 25th, Celine Dion returns to music after 3 years with A New Day Has Come.
I can't believe I've been touched by an angel with love. Let the rain come down and wash away.
It seemed like A New Day stuff was, there people were trying to kind of send out positive messages all throughout 2002.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I bet if we looked at a list, I'm trying to remember when Sting's Brand New Day came out, and It's a Beautiful Day by the aforementioned U2 was around then. Yeah, it's, I think we needed it after 9/11.
I think it was a conscious effort to try to be a little bit more positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Springsteen released The Rising really shortly after that. Or is that, do we talk about that here? I don't think we do, because I think that happened at the end of 2001. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what a monumental album. I almost picked something from that for my list. April 5th, Layne Staley of Alice in Chains is found dead due to a heroin overdose. April 17th, Blink-182 and Green Day co-headline the Pop Disaster Tour. And April 25th, Lisa Left Eye Lopez dies in a car accident in Honduras.
And I also had a birthday that day.
On the day that Lisa Left Eye Lopez died?
Yep.
We went to Honduras in June of that year, to Roatan, which is an island off the mainland of Honduras. Mm-hmm. And, so that was still totally being talked about, is the whole Lisa Left Eye Lopez thing. And then they were filming Temptation Island, the inaugural season of Temptation Island there. And we actually had to change hotels because they needed our room. Or change resorts, I should say. Not hotels, but resorts. In May 8th, Mariah Carey signed with Island Def Jam. May 12th, We Will Rock You, a catalog musical based on the music of Queen, opened up in the UK. And May 21st, Eminem released The Eminem Show. It ended up being the best-selling hip-hop album of 2002. I never saw that We Will Rock You. For a while, it was at Vegas at Paris. Mm-hmm. And I'm really bummed I never saw it. I don't know if there's still any performances of that going on or if it's completely shuttered. But
yeah, I don't know. I never saw it either.
Maybe with Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie doing so well, there'll be a resurgence of We Will Rock You, the musical. Because even seeing I'd love to even just see a video of the performance, a video of the musical. I have the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Scaramouche is a character. Don't know if he does the Fandango.
Does he send bolts of lightning?
He does, and man, they are very, very frightening.
I bet June 5th. They call Galileo.
Oh, geez. June 5th. We could do this for 4.5 minutes. Hammond.
No.
All right. Well, let me. June 5th. R. Kelly is charged with 21 counts of sexual assault of a minor after a video was released of the incident. Yeah, he was. I remember this. He was. It was a urination thing.
As much as things change, things, I know, stay the,
right?
Same.
Exactly. Here's 16, 17 years ago, and who's in the news? Although the R. Kelly stuff that's coming up now is from years ago, and it's like it's a documentary that came out that's got all these interviews with women who were.
I thought there was a recent thing where he was groping someone on a stage at a concert too.
I thought that just came out.
Oh, that was something older?
That was something older, okay. That somebody finally, right, came forward. Right. Yeah. Right. I could be wrong, though. I could totally be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
June 6th, Robin Crosby of Rat died due to complications from HIV.
And that was sad because Robin was actually one of my – I really enjoyed Rat when I was in high school and college. Mm-hmm. And Robin was always one of the guys that I kind of felt like got short shrifted in the band because he was the rhythm guitar player. But – you know, he wasn't the, you know, the guitar technical guy like Warren DeMartini was, and he wasn't the front man. He was just a solid dude in the back that did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And the lead singer always gets the attention. Mm-hmm. It's totally the way it is. And then June 11th, four things happened. Well, probably a lot more things happened, but four things of note in music happened. Paul McCartney married Heather Mills. She's, let's see, also vegetarian, and I think she's, doesn't she have a prosthetic leg? Mm-hmm. Not that that's like, you know, her claim to fame is she's a,
well, I think
a
the only reason,
vegetarian.
I think the only reason that that people watched that season of American Idol, not American Idol, Dancing with the Stars was for hopes that something would happen.
Oh, right, because she was on that. I forgot about that. Yeah. Also June 11th, American Idol premiered. Korn released their album Untouchables, and David Bowie released his 22nd studio album called Heathen. June 15th, K-Rock hosted the 10th annual Weenie Roast Show.
And so this was a big deal, and I don't remember this being as big of a deal, but it had Bad Religion, Hoobastank, which I totally forgot about until I typed it into the show notes.
I forgot about Hoobastank too. Wow.
They're like the Third Eye Blind of bands. From the, I don't remember them.
Or is Third Eye Blind the Hoobastank?
Then there was Jack Johnson, which we talked about during the show with Tom.
Oh, right. Yep.
Then there was Jimmy Eat World, which I totally forgotten about.
Yeah.
Moby, Newfound Glory, again, forgotten about. P.O.D., Papa Roach, Puddle of Mud, and the Violent Femmes. Wow. And there are so many others too.
Yeah, Violent Femmes, that, you know, great show to see. And this was right around the time, actually, this was one of the biggest hits of the year was Jimmy Eat World's The Middle, like their big breakout single.
It was just their one big out.
Well, okay. They're single.
Yeah.
It was there. It was the thing that we all remember from Jimmy Eat World. June 21st marked the start of the first Bonnaroo Music Festival with Widespread Panic and Government Mule.
Okay, so they were always opening up for Blues Traveler. And I remember they Widespread Panic opened for Blues Traveler the first time I saw them at Red Rocks. And I liked Widespread Panic, but the problem was is that they stared at their shoes the entire time and didn't really perform. They just played like they were in their garage. And it made for kind of an anticlimactic concert.
Yeah, which it would, for sure. I remember hearing that the Cars put on a show like that. I mean, I saw them in concert after Benjamin Orr passed away. And Greg Hawks, the keyboardist, is the liveliest. He does try to make up for everybody else's lack of movement on stage. He's bouncing around and making goofy faces and stuff. He is a blast to watch.
But Widespread Panic does do a cover of Enter Sandman that I kind of like.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Now, are they considered jam band?
I would think so. I mean, they're in that ilk with Government Mule and Blues Traveler and Dave Matthews.
String Cheese Incident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And June 27th, John Entwistle of The Who was found dead in Las Vegas at the age of 57.
The same age Clapton was when he married his 25-year-old.
Wow, yeah, no kidding. Yep. Was John Entwistle was the Bear, is that right?
I don't remember.
I think that was his nickname. Now I got to look it up because I like knowing this. I like having this this lame information in my head. I'm sorry, the Ox. That's right. His nickname, the Ox. I knew it was a large animal. The Ox and Thunderfingers.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. July 6th, Michael Jackson staged a protest against Sony Music, accusing them of being part of a racist conspiracy to exploit black recording artists.
Do you remember any of this? Because I don't.
I don't either, no. July 2002. Was there anything else going on around that time with Michael Jackson? Was that around the time of his giant statue that he drove through the UK?
I don't remember that either.
Oh, it was tied in with the album, with an album.
I thought, did Ghosts come out in 2002?
Maybe. Yeah. It's the history statue. Oh gosh. Way, way earlier. 1994. So I was, missed it by 8 years, but like they dragged it, I guess it went through, it went down the Thames. And then also went to Budapest. July 8th, Red Hot Chili Peppers released their 8th album called By the Way. It went up to number 2 on the album charts. Did you really mean to put charts? Because that is how I feel about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And was eventually certified double platinum. It may have only reached number two on the album charts, but it was number one on album charts.
Left a black mark on the record industry.
Just a little bit. Oh, a black skid mark. July 12th, Buck Cherry broke up. Not to worry. We're from the future. And they got back together 3 years later in 2005. And July 23rd, My Chemical Romance released their first album. Wow. God, I would have thought later in the 2000s. August 19th, Nickelback left the stage during the second song of their concert because the crowd was throwing rocks and bottles at them.
So we're from the future and they still suck.
They're still together. August 27th, Queens of the Stone Age released Songs for the Deaf, which featured Dave Grohl on drums. September 3rd, Napster shut down for good.
Okay, I have a question about this.
Yeah.
Did you participate in Napster in any way, shape, or form?
Can this be all? It's been more than 7 years.
The statute of limitations is clear. I'm curious.
Yes, I did.
Okay. I did not, and I don't have any kind of connection to this whatsoever.
To know how, it was it was an interesting thing because I remember you actually, you had to have a tool, like an application to access it. It might have just been like a tele or an IRC chat or something like that to get into it, and you could do searches. Yeah, I couldn't tell you right now how we connected to Napster because it was really just a big server. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I don't remember it being like an actual quote-unquote website. I don't think it was a website. It was like servers that you had to access. But there was a tool. There were tools you could use that would help you search for it. I also remember Alta Vista having a built-in tool that would search Napster. I also remember how on Napster, if it was a song that was at all funny, it had to be by Weird Al Yankovic. So like if you searched for Shaving Cream by Dr. Demento, oh no, it was by Weird Al Yankovic. Or if you searched for that that Star Wars Cantina song by Mark Davis, the real name of Richard Cheese, everybody, then it would pull up Weird Al Yankovic. So basically every funny song had to be by Weird Al Yankovic.
That's really funny. No, yeah. But I never participated. I never got into it. I never figured anything like that out. It wasn't until we went to visit my in-laws in the early 2000s and I discovered torrent stuff. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then I tinkered with that for a short time. Then I started feeling guilty and stopped.
I don't think I could, I'm curious actually. I don't think I've got any of my old Napster stuff in my collection anymore. I think I've replaced it all with legal versions or just got rid of it. But I'm curious if I do a search for Napster in my library, I'd be curious to see if anything was like labeled as coming from Napster. I mean, it wouldn't put in the ID3 tags, but sometimes you'd get stuff that came from Napster. Mm-hmm. One song I remember getting from Napster was There You Go by Pink. Oh yeah, there it is right there. Let's see what song information there is about this. Be curious to see when I got it. The last time I played it was April 6th, 2004 at 5:05 a.m. I don't know how that was possible. Yet the data was added to my system. Yeah, it definitely this isn't the right date because it says 2009, and I know this was one I added afterwards. That's really funny. I remember this. Remember the song, like I said, being one that I got from from Napster.
I mean,
but it's the only one I could think of that I'd have from Napster.
My only connection is through the Italian Job.
Oh, really? Do they?
They make a joke about it. Yeah, they make a joke about it in the remake, the Marky Mark Italian Job remake.
That's funny. I mean, there's a whole generation. There's going to be several generations. There's really only going to be like a handful of generations that know what Napster was, as opposed to everybody knowing what Napster was, except for newer generations, because I'll bet you our parents have no idea what Napster is, but our kids will, maybe, but our kids' kids definitely won't.
Yeah.
That's crazy. September 4th, Kelly Clarkson became the first winner of American Idol, the first season winner, and beat out Justin Guarini,
who doubles as Sideshow Bob in the live action.
He does, yes.
In the live action Simpsons film. Yet to be made.
Right, exactly. We're working on it. September 11th, Marie Fredriksson of Roxette is diagnosed with a brain tumor after an accident.
The wording of this in Wikipedia was weird. It said that she suffered a domestic accident.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so, and then it was diagnosed. I'm like, did she fall in the home or was she victim of domestic of violence? I mean, it was very cryptic how it was written. And so I just kind of reworded it to say it was an accident because I didn't want to get into anything too weird, but I just had to sort of note that there was, the way it was written was very, very strange.
Very interesting. Looks like she's doing fine now, 2006. Let's see. So yeah, she went through chemo and stuff like that. Returned to music in 2006 with a new CD of Swedish cover songs called Me and the Bastivan in February. I'm sure they're, I'd love it if they were cover songs of Swedish, Swedish covers of American songs, but I'm just looking at these and it's like, oh yeah, I don't know any of these. not even an ABBA song in here from what I can tell.
How
do you do a Swedish cover song album and nothing from ABBA? Let's see here. I left off with August. No, I left off with September 11th. Okay. On September 20th, Courtney Love announced that her legal issues with the remaining members of Nirvana had been resolved. This cleared the song You Know You're Right to be released on an upcoming compilation album. And September 24th, soundtrack to the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer is released.
And we're sadly, not sadly, gratefully, luckily, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, really? Wow, okay. Yeah, I'll let you know how I feel about that. Okay. October 2nd, Robbie Williams signed a 6-album, 80-million-pound record deal. Christina Aguilera released the video Dirty. Let's get dirty. That's my chair. I need that to get me off. Sweating till my clothes come off. It's close to speakers. I'm still jumping. 6 in the morning. Dirty, but there's a lot of ours. Causing controversy. I remember this. It kind of was the broke the squeaky clean. I mean, as much as a squeaky clean image as she could have after being a genie in a bottle, tell people to rub her the right way. You know, I mean, it really was her, like, it was an attempt for her to, like, say, oh, yeah, no, I'm not sweet little Christina Aguilera anymore.
Yeah, it was kind of like when Britney did Sonic and she did the whole tuning her breasts in the video.
I don't remember the Sonic. Are you thinking Toxic?
Toxic, that's it, yeah.
Okay. Was she selling frozen slushies?
Yeah, you know what I'm, the red kind of pleather jumpsuit she was wearing.
Oh, yeah. Was she, oh, yeah, right, because it was... Right, because she was a spy, and she had some spy gear in there, I guess. I don't know. October 30th, Jam Master Jay of Run DMC was shot dead at his studio in Queens. Also on the 30th, Warren Zevon, who was diagnosed with cancer, was on for the entire hour of Late Night with David Letterman, and it was his final public performance. That's such a tragic situation. And it's weird because you look at his album titles and you can't tell where the switch was where he realized he had terminal cancer, because he had an album called Life Will Kill Ya that he didn't find out about the cancer until after that. And then My Ride's Here, which was like one of the greatest final album titles ever, I think was just brilliant and sad. November 7th, fans riot at a Guns N' Roses concert. It was to be the start of their first tour in 9 years. The show was canceled because Axl's flight was delayed. Oh, that was this one where he, like, didn't show up until...
No, that's later.
Oh, okay. All right.
They established a pattern.
And yeah. Right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Here we go. All right. November 10th, members of the Rolling Stones, Tom Petty, Elvis Costello, and Brian Setzer are all guest stars on The Simpsons.
It was the rock and roll camp episode.
Oh, right. I totally remember that. Yeah. November 19th. Oh, I totally remember this. Michael Jackson dangled his kid blanket from a Berlin hotel room.
And people lost their minds.
They really did. Yeah. I mean... The whole thing was such a weird deal.
Yeah, it was so bizarre. Why him doing it and the reaction worldwide, all of it was strange.
Because I remember the photo, like it's him with his mask, his little surgical mask on. And November 29th, a memorial concert for George Harrison is held at Royal Albert Hall.
Thank you for not following with the typing there and call it Albury.
Oh, I've cut a bunch of those. I've skipped over. December 2nd, Peter Garrett leaves Midnight Oil. I think he went on to be a
mattress salesman.
What?
Mattress salesman, because his bed was burning.
Oh, geez. No, he's like a, he is like a big time political figure in Australia. He was like, wow. Like a house secretary or something. It was huge. Huh. December 3rd, Mariah Carey released her album Hey, Mariah Carey on December 3rd released her album Charm Bracelet.
Can't blame that on typo.
Nope, that's me. December 6th, another Guns N' Roses show and another riot. This time because Axl is a no-show. The band cancels their remaining shows.
Well, this is this goes back to 92 when James Hetfield got caught in the pyro and set him and got burned real badly.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that show ended. This was in Canada. And so Guns N' Roses actually had the opportunity to step out on stage and be heroes. And what they did was step out and throw a temper tantrum, and then everyone rioted. I mean,
wow,
it was a bad night all the way around for
that
Canada.
That was a bad night. Jeez. December, speaking of which, December 29th, Scott Stapp of Creed angers fans at a show in Chicago. He forgets many lyrics, he takes a lengthy leave of absence in the middle of the show, and he just lies down on the stage for part of the performance. The band's manager, did he have his arms wide open, by the way, when he laid down on the band's manager issued a written apology that included the statement, "We hope that you can take some solace in the fact that you definitely experienced the most unique of all Creed shows, and you may have become part of the unusual world of rock and roll history."
As long as I got my money back, I wouldn't care.
I was going to say, I wonder if they tried to send the same letter to people who got trampled during Rolling Stones at Altamont.
Or,
hey, congratulations, you're part of rock and roll history. Jeez. December 31st, Fish ends their 2-year hiatus with a show at Madison Square Garden.
And oddly enough, they're still performing that show today.
they're almost to the first encore.
Yep.
Also some random bits of information, trivia, Fergie joined the Black Eyed Peas in 2002, which is interesting because I thought that she was always a member, but no, she was added on after the first album, wasn't she?
Yep.
And Salt and Peppa break up and Seasonings will never be the same.
Nope. They pushed it too hard.
All right. Tell us some of the most popular songs of the year and some of the most popular albums of the year. And well, all this stuff. Tell us all this stuff.
So some of the more popular songs of the year were A Little Less Conversation. It was it was a cover with Elvis and JXL.
Yeah. That was huge. It was like the resurgence of Elvis. And I think put him into yet another decade of having a number one hit. He missed the 90s. Or maybe he missed the 80s and the 90s. I know that the Bee Gees have the record for like the most decades, number of decades with number one singles. I thought this might have helped with Elvis's, but I guess not.
And then Kelly Clarkson released A Moment Like This. A New Day Has Come by Celine Dion. We mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Are You In by Incubus, which I totally forgotten about until I looked this up.
Yeah.
And then System of a Down released Aerials, which I like System of a Down. I know that there are people who don't appreciate them, but I really do. Mm-hmm. And then the Foo Fighters released All My Life.
Interesting. Yeah, System of a Down still performing together in concert, but haven't released a new album since 2005 or something.
Yeah, Toxicity is still one of my favorite albums of that kind of type of music from that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Cool. Top 10 albums of the year was The Eminem Show by Eminem. My spelling is only for notes.
I know. I love it though.
Nellyville from Nelly. Let Go by Avril Lavigne, which I totally forgotten about.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah. then Britney Spears, Britney by Britney Spears. Then Laundry Service by Shakira, which I don't think I ever heard.
I don't know. Cause that would have been Forever, Whenever, or whatever it's called. That was way earlier than 2002, right?
I think so. I remember she made an appearance on the MTV
Whenever, Music Wherever.
I remember she made an appearance on the MTV Music Awards, and I spent a lot of time trying to figure out who she was and why I cared.
Yeah. Oh, no, that song was, this was their fifth album, but it was like, this was the song that kind of broke through in America for it, because it was Whenever, Wherever. And, let's see, Hips Don't Lie. That was sixth and seventh albums. Oral Fixation, volumes 1 and 2. Yeah, so it was Laundry Service was the thing that made us all stand up and take notice of Shakira here in the U.S.
Okay. And then Nickelback released their breakthrough album, Silver Side Up. A New Day Has Come by Celine Dion. 8701 from Usher. Home in by the Dixie Chicks. And Misunderstood by Pink.
Oh, right. Yep. Shakira is a Goodwill ambassador for Brazil. Where is it here? She's a Goodwill ambassador for UNICEF. Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. Then in theater, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was released, Hairspray was released, Movin' Out was released, and We Will Rock You was released.
Oh, wow.
There are a few others, but those are the ones that I thought would have more...
The more rock and rolly ones, yeah.
The ones that we've either talked about in the past or have kind of connections to what you or I like. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, on January 27th, Fox is doing the live Rent.
Yes. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that because I'm a big Rent fan. Mm-hmm. So with a little trepidation, I'm still looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I'm going to record it and watch it in my own time, but I'm interested in what it does. Yeah.
I am too. Yeah.
And then movies, 8 Mile came out, Chicago came out, and Biggie and Tupac came out.
Yeah, I almost picked a song from the soundtrack to 8 Mile. I'm glad I didn't. And then Chicago, almost picked something from that because that was, I just remember really loving that soundtrack. I still do. When something comes up in shuffle from that, it's always kind of a bonus. Cool.
Then we had entries into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right. Who got inducted that year?
Isaac Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
But I'm talking about Shaft.
Well, I think it was probably because of his chocolate salty balls song.
This is South Park stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That sealed the deal for him.
Right.
Sure. Then Brenda Lee, Tom Petty, the Ramones, and the Talking Heads.
Ah, very cool. One of these bands we've done a show about on Soundography. We won't tell you which one. Hopefully, you've been paying attention.
And that one we had to do twice.
That's right. I would have forgotten had you not said that. Hey ho, let's go again. All right, now is the point of the show where we normally would do our playlists of the band that we're featuring on the show, but this time we do our 10 song playlists of the year, basically our favorite songs of that year. And
never have our two lists been so different.
Diametrically opposed, like no overlap whatsoever. And this won't surprise. I think both of our lists won't surprise anybody.
No, but I we've talked about this. I think our musical tastes were very, very similar to about the mid 80s.
Yeah, I think so and too. Then they kind of veered off.
Yeah, you broke one way and I broke very much the other direction.
Yes.
And there's been some mild lane crossing throughout the rest of the time. But
that's right.
This demonstrates that we were very different people in 2002.
For sure. Yep. For sure. All right. The first one is Light and Day, Reach for the Sun by the Polyphonic Spree. Polyphonic Spree, first off, 23-person band. Let's just get that out of the way first, because they are a massive band. And if you're familiar with the artist St. Vincent, who we definitely need to add. I think we should add St. Vincent to a future season.
Okay.
I think she'd be fascinating to learn about. She was a member of the Polyphonic Spree. I actually had the chance to interview Tim DeLauder for Coverville. And we tried to do it at the concert venue where they were going to be performing here in Denver. It didn't, like, it was a little too noisy. And so we said, let's go back to the bus, the band's tour bus. And Tina was with me. We got to sit with Tim DeLauder on the 23-person Polyphonic Spree Tour Bus. And he told the stories about how, yeah, people have gotten left behind before. They've instituted a buddy system so they can make sure that that people don't get lost at truck stops and gas stations and things like that. But really, really cool. This is such a positive song. And I think people probably know it best as being being used for a Volkswagen commercial and for the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Really, really such a positive hippie song. And I kind of put the two positive hippie songs together. The second one here, Do You Realize by the Flaming Lips. That you have the most beautiful face. Do you realize
So the only, my only experience with Flaming Lips is their CD they released that has four discs and it has like five songs across the four discs and you have to play them in unison.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I don't know about that one. That's cool.
It's called Zyrus Pika, something. They're a weird band.
They are a weird band. Wayne Coyne is always trying to figure out ways to really push the edges of music. And they did an entire track by track cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with folks like Miley Cyrus helping them out on vocals. That's actually really, really good. I don't like their first album with the whole She Don't Use Jelly stuff. That didn't connect with me, but man, when they started getting weirder, I just really started appreciating them. And never seen them in concert, but I want to because I guess the entire band dresses up in giant furry mascot costumes. Next up is Beautiful Collision. Is an album, or I'm sorry, a song by Bic Runga. Again, probably best known for a song called Sway, which was used in a bunch of teen movies from the 80s, or I'm sorry, from the 90s. But she has got one of the most gorgeous voices in music. Just so pitch perfect and unique to listen to. Really, really cool. And that's a really beautiful song. Next up is The Further I Slide from Badly Drawn Boy. So Badly Drawn Boy released the soundtrack to About a Boy in 2002, the movie with I want to make sure that I've got the right. Why is this showing a different order? No, show me the right order. There we go. Yeah, and this is interesting. Okay, because that's not, I thought I picked something to talk about. But there are two songs from the soundtrack to About a Boy that I was wrestling between. You can't go wrong with either of them. The Further I Slide or Something to Talk About. Again, both from the soundtrack to About a Boy, and they're both really, really good. Yeah, all of a sudden I've totally lost. Oh, you know why? It's because I have it in a different folder. And I'm going to backtrack on what I just said because the soundtrack to About a Boy came out in 2002, but so did the Badly Drawn Boy album, Have You Fed the Fish? Both albums came out in 2002. Those were the two songs I was wrestling with, was The Further I Slide from the soundtrack to About a Boy and The Further I Slide. I'm sorry. The Further...
You do realize I feel like you're punking me with the editing for this one.
I know. It's like I'm going to make your job so hard. All right. Something to Talk About came from the soundtrack to About a Boy. The Further I Slide came from his album, Have You Fed the Fish, both of which came out in 2002, and both of which I was wrestling with to pick my my playlist here. It really was. They're two of my favorite songs, and they just both happen to come from 2002 Badly Drawn Boy albums.
I have to tell you, good. I have to tell you, if this is hard for me to deal with, I'm just leaving it all in.
Yeah, I would. I think leave it all in. Leave it all. Let them hear what you have to deal with in editing with me sometimes. If you're not familiar with Badly Drawn Boy, that's a really good song to check out to get familiar with him. He's got a very deep, like Chris Difford voice from Squeeze. Very unique sounding style. And that song is just such a great song. The next one, Come Into My World. Oh, yeah. Okay. So if I'm going to give you the homework of checking out that song by Badly Drawn Boy, before you do that, you need to check out the video of Come Into My World by Kylie Minogue. So we talked about Eternal Sunshine and Spotless Mind. The director of that, Michael Gondry, also did the video for Come Into My World by Kylie Minogue. And it is one of the most well-done music videos. I can watch that music video over and over and over again because it is just an amazing, amazing special effects spectacular. I don't even want to say what happens in it.
I just know her from her legendary
Can't Get You Out of My Head.
Yeah, legendary earworm song Can't Get You Out of My Head, which
same album.
Yeah. That's that song once see we've got half our audience already singing it.
Yes, we do. Exactly. No, when we're done with this show, Hammond, your homework is to go watch Come Into My World by Kylie Minogue.
Okay, I'll do it after
Yeah, when you get a chance.
Yeah, yeah. I've got other things on my plate. My boss.
Your boss is, yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on with you. Go with the flow. We talked about Queens of the Stone Age earlier. This is such a great, and I had to have some hard rock on my on my list. I felt like, you know, if I had this, you should have had like a song by England Dan and John Ford Coley in your list or something. But Go With the Flow by Queens of the Stone Age. Such a rocker and really was a good example of the other direction alternative rock went in the 2000s. Not just electronic, but also just straight ahead hard rock. Because you had the Hives, you had the Strokes, you had...
Didn't the Black Keys and Jack Black and all that stuff come out then?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep, a lot of stuff getting ready to come out or just come out. And this was a good representation of it.
Yeah. Now, the next one, I'll tell you, I thought you were going to... Before I saw who it was, I actually thought you were going to tell me it was Will Smith.
Oh yeah, no. This is great. This is Counting Crows, a favorite band of mine. They released their Hard Candy album in 2002. Not one of my favorite albums by them, but this song stands out as being awesome. Really, really good song. It's called Miami by Counting Crows. That album also had American Girls. American Girls, I think, was the single from that album, but skip that and go right to Miami. Walk on Me by Ben Queller. So Ben Queller is a San Francisco guy. He's got a voice kind of similar to Rivers Cuomo from Weezer. It's funny because for a while he worked with Joe Butcher from the Polyphonic Spree in a band called Radish before he went solo. Then he went solo, he moved to New York, and even joined, he was like on an album called The Bends with Ben Folds and Ben Lee as a trio. And they fit, you know, basically fit together really well as far as like their style of music. If You Never Got Sick by the Wallflowers, again, the Wallflowers released their Red Letter Days album, not as good as the album with One Headlight and their biggest hits. But If You Never Got Sick, it's a kind of a bittersweet song, like Baby, If You Never Got Sick, I'd Never Get to Hold You or something like that. Like kind of a sad, like, oh man, that's the only time that that she lets him hold her is when she's sick. And then Pavlov's Bell. So Amy Mann released Lost in Space, which is, I think, Amy Mann's best album. I love I'm With Stupid, but this album is just so good. And the bonus version of the album comes with a bunch of live tracks and covers. She does a great cover of The Scientist by Coldplay. She does a cover of a Glenn Tilbrook song, Observatory. And then she does this great Pavlov's Bell song. Which has so many hooks. It's like a fishing tackle box. It's got so many hooks. Great tune. And those are my 10.
All right. So my first one is called Conan, and it's from it's by a band called Three Quarters Dead. It's from their album Blueprint of a Strange Mind. The lead singer at the time was the future, now former vocalist for Mushroomhead, Waylon Rivas. And the song's kind of about the death of his mother from cancer.
I never would have guessed that it was pronounced Conan looking at that. Conan.
But it's a great song. It's got a kind of a simple guitar line and really cool bass. It's a great song. And yeah, it's very, very angry.
I'll bet it is. Yeah.
Then I picked an album. I picked Blackened Eyes by Porcupine Tree. It's from their album In Abstentia. I'm pretty sure this song's about a serial killer, but it's actually really cool. And the whole album is just amazing. If I were going to give someone a primer in prog, this Porcupine Tree album would be one of the, like, the baby steps into prog I'd give you.
This is the gateway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I picked Walk Through the Fire from the Buffy musical. Am I leaving Dawn in danger? Is my slayer? This is the climactic song from it, from their musical episode, Once More a Feeling. I don't know how other people feel about it, but I love this episode. I own the soundtrack. I own the piano book.
Wow. Okay. You love that episode. Yeah.
So,
yeah, Anthony Stewart had big into theater. So this was kind of, I wonder if this was his idea, right?
I don't know, but I know he played the Russian for a while in chess, and his brother was the American.
Right. Well, Murray. His brother's Murray Head.
Yeah.
From One Night in Bangkok.
Yep.
Yeah. I love that. Because I always thought Murrayhead was the name of a band. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, oh, no, that's a guy's name. And he's the brother of the guy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And that blew my mind.
Yeah.
Well, blew my head. Maybe I won't say that.
And then also, if you're not familiar with other work from Anthony Michael Head, check out Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Yes, definitely do.
Then I picked the Oscar-winning song from the movie 8 Mile, Lose Yourself by Eminem. Yo.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now.
Yeah, something about mom's spaghetti.
Yeah, something about mom's spaghetti. Then this one's weird. This is a song called We Did It. And it's by Swizz Beatz. Now, this song came into existence because Metallica was on a kind of a weird hiatus because James was in rehab. And they were approached by producers to let them use samples and pieces of recordings from the album that they had been working on before he left to work with this hip-hop artist. And so they did. And so it's this very hybridization of Metallica and kind of hardcore hip hop. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it again. Just when you thought it was over. Just when you thought we were done. Just when you thought it was safe, man, we did it again. I love dance cars, fast broads, cause I'm a rock star, baby. Born in the USA, I'ma hit the high. And it's really interesting, and it's not a, how do I put this? I like the song, but I know that it's not a great song. It's one I enjoy, but it's not a perfect piece of music.
But it is an interesting way to get a Metallica song into the list.
Yeah.
Without Metallica having an album.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's really cool.
And then I picked a cover by Nightwish. They did a cover of Phantom of the Opera from their album, Century Child. If there's a band on the planet that could do opera, Phantom of the Opera covers, they could, because their lead singer can hit those high notes, and she's awesome at that. So that's something that they did very well. And then I picked an instrumental by Opeth from Deliverance. It's called For Absence Friends. Is a kind of a, if you take progressive music and add the occasional angry growly vocal, it's Opeth.
Okay.
And then I picked Bother by Stone Sour. This is Corey Taylor from Slipknot's other project. You don't need to bother. I don't need to breathe. I'll keep slipping farther. And this song was actually on the Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire for Spider-Man soundtrack.
I'm so glad you picked this one and not that Chad Kroeger song.
No, but this is, I love this. This was, again, this is one of those ones where you listen to Bother and you're like, okay, I could buy this. And you buy the album and it's a lot, there's a lot more aggressive stuff on there than this song. And then I picked for my number 9, I picked Odyssey by Symphony X. It's the title track. They're kind of a power progressive band. This song clocks in like 25 minutes or something. But it tells the story of the Odyssey.
Uh, That's cool.
And due to contractual obligations, I cannot give you my 10th.
Oh, no, no. You can give me your 10th. We just can't do an entire episode. That's the rule. Okay. I think I was laughing because you skipped over it. Like, you're gonna be laughing at number four.
So my last one is 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulence. It's the it's the title track and the entirety of the second disc.
His mama always did her best, and he was daddy's pride and joy. He learned to walk and talk on time, but never cared much to be held. And steadily he would decline.
It's a 42-minute piece occupying the second disc, separated into 8 tracks. And the story explores 6 individuals suffering from various mental illness. Particularly represented are bipolar, post-traumatic stress disorder, schizophrenia, postpartum depression, autism, and dissociative personality disorder.
Wow. Okay. That's cool, actually. And I guess if you have 42 minutes, you can do that.
Yeah, and it's funny because it is broken up in tracks, so you can't listen to it on shuffle. Unless you rip the whole thing at once, because
which is the right way to do it, actually, because I've done that too, where I've imported Abbey Road, for example, by the Beatles, and you get all those individual tracks, but you have to do that iTunes thing or whatever you import your music in. You have to do group songs so that it only ever plays the full second side of Abbey Road together, and same way with this. It's like having Soft Cell's Tainted Love not go into Where Did Our Love Go? You can't have it.
Yeah. Or Sirius not go into Eye in the Sky.
Eye in the Sky. Right.
Yep. Or introduce Michael Jordan. There are 2 options for the end of Sirius. Eye in the Sky or introducing Michael Jordan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jordan. What about, what's your opinion of, is it Heartbreaker and Live and Love and Made? There's a couple of... it's Heartbreaker that goes into Livin' Lovin' Made.
I don't mind them getting broken up. But like We Are the Champions and
We Will Rock You vice versa.
Whoever breaks that up, they've committed a sin.
Yes. Nope, I'm with you. And I think I'm against the breakup of Heartbreaker without Livin' Lovin' Made. That's for the record. I'm against it. That's my plan.
That's a no from me.
All right. Very good. Well, that will do it for this. Oh, that might be a good topic for some future Soundography. Songs that always go together. Like for one of our special episodes.
Yeah, that would be good.
Between seasons. Okay. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of Soundography. Next week, we look at the music of Dr. John. This is cool because I know... I confuse him with Leon Russell. Mm-hmm. But Dr. John's more like Cajun. I guess they're both Cajun jazz rock kind of fusion stuff. All right, let's just leave it at that. We're apparently going to learn my differences between Dr. John and Leon Russell and any other of those. I always think of Dr. John and I visualize Dr. Teeth from Electric Mayhem.
I actually think he might have been patterned off of him.
I think so too. Okay. I've seen
Dr. John in concert.
And does he look like Dr. Teeth?
There's a lean into that.
There's totally. Okay. I'll bet that there's a.
Yeah. I saw Dr. John in Louisiana ages ago.
Oh, here it is right here. The character of from the Muppet Wikipedia, the character of Dr. Teeth is partially based on Dr. John.
It's got to be Elton John for the other part.
I don't know. That's interesting. I wonder who the rest of it is modeled after. That's hilarious. Yeah, there we go. Right place, wrong time. That's funny because I was like, all right, is that Leon Russell or is that Dr. John? So good. I'm glad.
And that is already the Stairway to Heaven song. We don't even need to do the episode now.
We really don't. We're done. Thanks, everybody. I'm looking to see. It doesn't say who else Dr. Teeth is based on, but... it totally makes sense. Anyway, so that's going to be next week. We'll find out more about Dr. John than just that and that song. And that's it. We'll have more than that, I promise you. If you want to get in touch with us, please email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are @TheSoundography. Our website is soundography.com. and check out our playlist. You can find our playlist for every episode when you go to soundography.com. Links to listen to them on Spotify, as well as a link to purchase stuff on Amazon, the songs and albums that we're talking about. For 2002, you got any suggestions? Do we do the 8 Mile soundtrack? Do we do... Because that was one of the biggest albums of the year.
You do 6 Degrees of Inner Turbulence.
Fine. For you, I will. For you, I will. You'll also find links to our Patreon. Hey, listen, just throw us a buck every month. If you're not already a patron, a buck every month. You'll never miss it, and it'll make such a big difference for us. That's patreon.com/soundography. And if you love what you hear, and you want to support it for free, there's another way to do that. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We love to see your positive reviews. Well, we love to see the negative ones too, because it tells us what we could do better. And for me, it would be not screwing up the word charm bracelet. We will be back next week with another edition of Soundography. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.